BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
It was around 4:30 Mountain Time on Friday that Tim Tawa got called into the office of his manager in AAA Reno, Jeff Gardner's office. Tawa was just getting ready to go hit batting practice. Instead, he was told, you're getting promoted. You're going to the big leagues. And oh, by the way, you're catching a flight to Phoenix. Then there's a layover, then a red eye into the nation's capital. They're playing the Nationals. And the Arizona manager, Torrey Lovullo, is a big believer in starting players who get called up. Let the adrenaline win. Tim Tawa, in his first Major League Baseball at bat, hits a single. He's got the hit. It had to feel like a whirlwind. He's been in the big leagues now almost a week. 6 days in the big leagues. What does it feel like now? Tim Tawa joining us. Major League Baseball player Tim Tawa on the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Give me an idea. Let's go back to that Friday. You're at the ballpark. You're getting ready to play. You've been hitting well. You're hitting 391 in AAA. Manager calls you in. Did you kind of know, or did you not know, or what were you thinking?
I mean, I didn't want to get ahead of myself. I was kind of just, you know, you always have that feeling when you're going, you get called into the manager's office that you could be getting good news, but I'm always somebody that tries to just keep my feet where they are and not get ahead of myself or get too excited. But there wasn't really any beating around the bush. He kind of just told me right away. So, and then the emotions just took over. So it was really exciting.
You know, I know you've been through a lot. People remember you from Westland High School, multi-sport star, and then going to Stanford, and then you start your pro career in the Diamondbacks organization, early stop in Hillsboro where people got to see you. And but it's probably felt like a journey for you. That emotional reaction, I mean, do you smile? Do you get glassy eyes? You know, who's your first phone call? You know, as you walk out, are the rest of your teammates slapping you on the back? What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a long process. I mean, even going back before pro ball, college stuff, high school, and, you know, even just growing up as a kid, a lot of stuff that's gone into getting to this week, to that moment. First call was to the parents just to tell them, you know, kind of, you always, at least I've always thought about what it would be like to be able to make that call, be able to tell them that I, you know, got promoted, that I was going to the show, and to be able to do that was pretty special. And I think coming out of the office too and just seeing the reaction from my teammates and how excited they were for me, and that meant a lot too. It was pretty special. I don't think I could have asked for, you know, better reaction or better anything that happened in that time period.
So the Diamondbacks tell you, hey, you're going to Washington, D.C. They're playing a game. And, you know, did they tell you they wanted you in the lineup, or did they just say, get there and here's the flight info, or how does that work?
I think it was all just such a whirlwind that the most important thing to me when I got that news was just catching that first flight, make sure that I, you know, got to the connection and got to the D.C. on time. They did let me know the night before, pretty late the night before, I guess, that I was going to be in there. So at least I had some time to mentally think about it and prepare and just, you know, I mean, prepare as best as you can for a moment like that. But yeah, I think in that moment I was just like, let's get to the flight. I was getting so many texts, so many calls, people were trying to, you know, get a hold of me. And all I could think about was just don't miss the flight so I don't miss this opportunity.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that flight and then have them, yeah, you know, they change their mind. Never mind, we've thought of something else. We'll send you back.
Yeah, exactly.
So how early do you get to the airport before that flight from Reno to Phoenix?
Oh, it was we didn't have that much time. I was told around 4:30 and then had to go back and pack. And by the time I got to the airport for the 7 o'clock flight to Phoenix, it was probably 6:20 something.
Wow.
So kind of rushing. Luckily, the Reno airport's not too big, so the lines weren't long, and got there just as the flight started boarding. But in the moment, having to drive back to the traffic to get to the house and pack and then get to the airport was a little bit stressful.
that first game when you walk into the clubhouse and you're going to put on the uniform for that first game and you know you're in the lineup, and can you just take us through that? Like, what's that like to walk in there, and how do other players sort of, you know, some of these guys, because you played with some of these guys at different levels, but, and you've seen guys in spring training, but what is that like?
I mean, I have a really good support system around me of guys who are playing right now in the big leagues and guys who have been there before. And so going into it, they gave me a lot of good advice about just trying to take in everything. Don't, you know, change who you are, be yourself. And that's really what I tried to do, was just, you know, stay off my phone and just really try and remember all the details that were going to, you know, mean something to me, you know, tomorrow and a year from now and 10 years from now, because, you know, it's one of the bigger moments of my entire life. And I think, you know, getting on the bus, seeing some of the guys, you know, walking on and seeing me on the bus and congratulating me and getting excited was special too. And I think just seeing how excited other people too, not even just players, just the staff and training staff and whoever it was, just excited to see me there and to get that chance, the opportunity was special. Because everybody, it felt like, was pulling for me. And, yeah, I just tried to take in as much as I could and be as present as possible.
You get an opportunity to be in the lineup. Your first at-bat comes, and, you know, your parents are in the stands. Your brothers are in the stands, one coming from D.C., one coming from New York. Girlfriend's there. Everybody's got their phones out and ready to get this moment, but you get into that box, you've got to kind of clear your mind a little bit. And, you know, are you sitting on a fastball there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always trying to be on the fastball. I just wanted to get something out over the plate that I could put a good swing on. And, you know, it was obviously a big moment being there, and there's a lot of emotion, and, you know, everything's bigger and there's stuff going on. But I was really trying my best just to make the baseball part as baseball as I could. And so once I stepped in the box, it was, you know, all focus, not really nerves, just trying to play the game. And I got a fastball out over the plate and didn't miss it. So it was a pretty good feeling just touching first base and knowing that I got the first one out of the way. And I think hearing my family cheer too was pretty cool, and seeing how excited the dugout was made it even better also.
What's the first baseman say to you, the opposing first baseman, when you get down there?
I mean, he just said congratulations, and, you know, that's pretty cool that got it out of the way in the first one. He also told me that I should take a picture of the scoreboard, because, you know, the 1,000 batting average that I had at that moment wasn't going to last very long, which I thought was pretty funny.
I love that.
But yeah, he was great, and it was a pretty cool moment.
Tim Tawa with us, infielder with the Arizona Diamondbacks. There had to be moments in your college career, high school career, your professional career, where you doubted or you thought, is this going to happen for me? What do you say to that, and to people who go through things like that? And, you know, what were those moments that helped, or maybe what was the voice in your head that helped you get through that doubt part?
Yeah, I think that baseball is a lot of that. There's so much failure in the game. I mean, you can do everything right and still not see results all the time, or you can work harder than anybody else and still not perform the way that you want to when the game actually is happening, and that can be frustrating. And I think that the downs that I've had in my college career and my professional career are really important in terms of growing as a player and as a person, because there's so few people that have just a straight line to make it to the big leagues, or even just to have success. Like, it's never, rarely, I would say, just a straight line to get to that end destination. And so being able to, you know, work with the ebbs and flows of the season and, you know, not being at your best all the time, like, that's just part of the game. And so I think when I was struggling and then coming out of it, that just made me a better, you know, player and teammate. And it's kind of just something that you have to, you know, rely on other people too. Like, my family's been so supportive of me, and coaches and teammates just always being there to work and help me get better and do it. You know what I need to get better and get to this moment. Because there's just so many people. I mean, it's not even just in professional. It's growing up. There's so many people to thank and that I'm appreciative for helping me get to this moment. I the list would be too long to name everybody, but it's not just me. You know, it's a group effort to get to where I am right now, and I'm very thankful for a lot of people who have helped me get to this moment.
Tim Tebow with us, infielder with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's been in the big leagues now for 6 days, and yeah, that hit that you got the ball from the single. Your dad has it. Your dad told me he's got every ball from every meaningful hit that you've ever had, and he said he had to go negotiate for a ball in Omaha that you hit for a home run when you were at Stanford, and I don't know what he had to give up to get that ball, but he probably had to pay for it. Pretty cool to have the family there. And by the way, do you know what your dad, what did he trade for that ball in Omaha?
I don't know what he traded. I don't think he ever told me. I just know that he was sitting in the area of the home run and tried to get it, but didn't. And then, I mean, he's never been afraid to go yeah. talk to somebody about something like that. So I don't know what he negotiated, but you're probably right.
Yeah, he wouldn't tell me either. So I think it was probably cash or something. But look, now the mission becomes staying in the big leagues. How do you kind of wrap your mind around that? And I think too, you know, you can complicate this by thinking too much about it. But did you get advice from other guys about how do you stick there? How do you, you know, so much of that feels like it's out of your control, but in your control.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same approach that I've had with playing baseball just in general every day. Like, I'm just going to try and control what I can control, which is, you know, the work ethic and how I approach the game with my preparation, doing stuff before the game to get as prepared for that day as I possibly can and go out to perform at the highest level possible. And then I just try not to focus on any of that other stuff because, like you said, it's out of my control. I feel really fortunate to be where I am right now. I think it's still sinking in a little bit that I'm here and that I'm getting to have this experience and this opportunity. And at the moment, I'm really just trying to be, like I said kind of earlier, right where my feet are and not get ahead of myself, just continue to work and control what I can and then, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
And I think it's great. You talked about some of that overcoming of that failure. And I think so many people out there get discouraged. And I think you're a great example of a guy who's just kept working amid that. It, this radio show, the studio that I'm doing the show from is like two blocks from your childhood home too. It's like, I'm literally like, we could have had you over here if you were, you know, still playing in high school, but give me an idea. Let's go back to the high school experience. You're playing quarterback. You're playing three sports. You've got guys like Alex Forsythe, and you've got, Elijah Molden, and you've got obviously Peyton Pritchard in basketball and Jaden Grant in multiple sports and Will Mathewson, who you played with at Stanford as a two-sport guy. Those teams were loaded. Were you aware at the time that you had so many potential NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball players on those teams?
I mean, I don't know if I knew exactly that, you know, how far a lot of those guys would go. I knew that everybody was talented, and I think that even goes back to youth stuff, back when we were, you know, 9, 10 years old and playing baseball or football back then and doing really well. And you never really know. You knew that everybody was talented and, you know, you're rooting for everybody to do stuff, but seeing all those guys have success professionally, I tell you what, it doesn't surprise me because – you know, I was there when, you know, they were putting in work and doing all that stuff that's helped them get to where they are now. And I'm just as big of a fan as them, just following them and seeing how they're doing and cheering them on. And it's really exciting. I think it is pretty cool that, you know, we all got to kind of grow up together and play sports together and then having success at a professional level. It's pretty cool.
I had one of your former basketball coaches reach out to me and say, hey, he had a hard time getting on the floor because that basketball team was so good. And he was, you know, he was not a bad player, but, you had a future NBA guard that was playing in that team and among others. Tim Tawa is with us. Adley Rutschman, you just saw him in Baltimore. I mean, you know, I know you guys, you know, you played against each other, I think, in high school. I think I remember I covered a high school game where you know, he might have been on the field for Sherwood, and you were playing at West Lynn, and I think he kicked like a 50-yard field goal in that game or something. But you tell me, you know, do you get a chance to say hi to him?
Yeah, I think, you know, when he's behind the plate, I always try to acknowledge the catcher and the umpire before I have an at bat, and it was pretty cool being able to say hi to him and just know that we, you know, come from the same area and competed against each other for a while now. I think, you know, it's not just been baseball, too. It's football, and it was cool seeing his face, and, I mean, obviously he's had so much success and, you know, somebody who handles his business the right way and just such a good player. So being able to, you know, share that deal with him and just say hi and see him was pretty special, too. It was nice seeing a familiar face out there across the diamond.
Fascinating stuff. All right, so tell our listeners, where are you today, and what is an off day like?
Yeah, just spending it in Arizona. I needed to get some nicer new clothes for road trip stuff because I, you know, packed so quickly in Reno that I didn't grab all my stuff. So that's kind of what most of the afternoon was at the mall grabbing some new clothes. but now just going to go to dinner in a little bit and try and relax and get prepared for the game tomorrow.
All right. I really appreciate you making time for us, Tim. I know it's been a whirlwind. I think there are a lot of people listening, you know, who watched you grow up and watched you have success. And I think a lot of people becoming Diamondbacks fans and following you now and happy for your success. But congrats to you. Manage that 20 square feet around you. And keep having fun.
I will. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Tim Tawa, there he goes. Major League Baseball player. Pretty cool, Steven. He's in the big leagues. And, you know, the cool thing is, like, there's a pressure, I think, for professional athletes. And I know I have a dad who played 7 years of minor league baseball and ended up in AAA at the age of 25 and said, it's not going to happen for me. And he retired at the age of 25. Tim Tawa is 26 years old, and there were probably moments in single A, double A, triple A, where he wondered, is this ever going to happen to me? There's a pressure to break through and get there. Now, it's a different thing. It's a different calculus. How do you stay there? If he hits, he'll stay there. And, you know, and you can't put that much pressure on yourself. He gets a hit in his first at bat. He got a hit last night, drove in 2 runs, went 1-for-4 last night. He is 2-for-11. He knows he needs to, you know, come up with a few more hits to stick, but he's going to get opportunities. His manager's playing him every other day. You know, I think you're going to get, you know, Tawa's going to get in the lineup here and get some more at-bats. They're going to get a chance to look at him and see what he can do.
Yeah, and for me, as a guy who watched him play football in the state title game and watched him play basketball, watched him play at all these sports because my brother was around the West Lynn program, you know, so I was out there watching all those teams that were really good playing against the best teams in the nation, you know, watching Peyton Pritchard go up against, you know, the top guys in the nation in the Les Schwab Invitational and just watch those West Lynn teams and see how talented they were and now see where they all are, see what they've done in their career. It is amazing. And you talk about the age, like, yeah, 26, it seems like it's still a young man, but a lot of these guys, if you're 26, they're probably up in the majors and they're making a move. So you know that Tim has had some ups and downs in his career where he's probably thought, yeah, is this for me? Like, should I have gone football route instead of played baseball at Stanford or, you know, one of those type of things. And so right. It's cool to see him have that success and get there. Now you're right. Now it's a completely different mindset. He got there. Now how do you stay there? Because you don't want to go back. That's the one thing you hear from guys that make the major leagues is they do not want to go back to the minor leagues because it is a completely different lifestyle. He even mentioned talking about having to go to get a bunch of clothes. Like, it's a different lifestyle when you're in the majors, and it's much better.
And here he is, like, at age 26. He gets there, 11th round pick. He gets to the big leagues. I mean, you look back in the Diamondbacks organization, there's another Stanford kid named Tommy Troy, who was a first-round pick in 2023 and, you know, hit like 340 at Stanford, you know, really good player, plays the same position. He's just a couple of years behind him in the system. And so you've got the pressure to stay there. You got guys that are coming that, you know, have their dreams too that want to break through. But I think the thing that Tawa's got going for him, in addition to the fact that, you know, he's a little older at 26, he's lived a little, I think he's a versatile infielder. He can play multiple positions. So I think that makes him, you know, a kind of player that if he hits enough, I'm using air quotes, if he hits enough, I think he'll stick. And, you know, we'll see what the Diamondbacks do with him, but he's going to get an opportunity here. I've been following him. It was nice to see him get the first hit. Then he kind of went into a, you know, a couple games where he didn't get a hit. And that, then last night he drove in two runs. So I was like, okay, that's good. So I'm kind of just watching him. And I'm watching him from a standpoint of I really like to see him get opportunities. I'd like to see him get 30 or 40 at-bats before they really evaluate him. He's 11 at-bats into it. And, you know, we're getting a chance to see him do what he can do.
And he's a guy that played for Hillsborough as well. So it's like you've seen him through all the different stages of his life, high school to college, the, you know, minor leagues, and now he's in the majors. So just one of those things is just you follow this guy and it's paying off for him. But, yeah, you got to hope he can get some more hits because he is versatile. He plays everywhere in the field.
He, you know, his dad still won't tell me what he negotiated to get that home run ball in Omaha. I think
probably a lot more than he wants to admit, I would guess.
I think he paid a couple hundred bucks for that ball because he wanted his kid's home run ball. And those fans in the bleachers, they can be brutal. That's a lot of beer. All right, leave it here. We got Punch It Audio coming up.